Welcome to another episode of Crime Beneath the Vines. I'm your host, Willow Dawn, and today we're going to be talking all about the Cundy Family Winery and an unfortunate attack that took place on the property in 2003. However, before getting into all of our content for today's episode, I just first wanted to apologize for the delay in getting the episode out. I had some technical difficulties this week just with finishing the script and with editing everything. So I just, a little disclaimer for y'all. I really appreciate everyone's patience. Thank you so much for hanging in there and for tuning in. And now on with the episode. The Cundy Family Winery has been in the family for about five generations, and to this day, it is actually still largely family-owned and operated. The family is still to this day farming an 1,850-acre estate property, and it's located in the Sonoma Valley, where they produce what they describe as ultra-premium estate-grown and sustainably farmed wines. Most of the varieties the Cundy family farms are extremely popular in the area, and these varieties range from Chardonnay to Cabernet Sauvignon, Sauve Blanc, and Zinfandel. However, the family actually grows close to 20 different varieties of grapes on property. The Cundy family is committed to introducing innovation into their vineyards, and they always like to stay true to their roots and goals of sustainability. So when they're doing their wine growing and wine production, they're really focusing on land preservation. Now, as I mentioned before, the winery is still largely family-owned and operated, and many of the people that actually work on the team are part of the fourth and fifth generation of family members for the Cundy family. It was actually one of these family members that suffered this personal loss following the heartless attack on the Cundy property in 2003. However, before I get into all of that, I really want to give us a little bit of an overview for the family and their history. By gaining this understanding, we'll better be able to understand the type of people they are and the work they do. So Louis Cundy founded the Cundy Family Winery in 1904. Louis was a German immigrant who worked the winery and vineyards until his death in 1922. At this point, when he passed away, his son, Arthur Big Boy Cundy, took over the legacy. And I will say this, Big Boy, that is a nickname. But Arthur Big Boy Cundy took over the legacy. And he actually kept the winery alive and open through Prohibition. Unfortunately, though, the hard times for the family didn't stop there, because a few years later, when Arthur and his sons were drafted into World War II, they had to temporarily close down the doors to the winery. However, the doors didn't stay closed for long, because during the 60s and 70s, Arthur Cundy's sons, Bob and Fred, worked greatly on expanding the estate following their return home from the war. Following the family's return from the war, they were all combining their passions for agriculture. Throughout the 70s, the family was operating Cundy Hereford Ranch, located near Kenwood, where they would market their bulls and female Herefords. And this Hereford business is one that is still alive today. Of course, it's evolved many different times, but it's really amazing that they've continued to keep that tradition alive. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, Herefords are a type of cattle. Specifically, Herefords are a British breed of beef cattle that generally are red and white in coloring and relatively large. If you're someone who lives in cattle country like myself, I always think of Herefords as the real big, kind of hairy red cattle with always a white face. They always look like you got a cow, and instead of having like the hair on their face, they've just got a skull because their faces are always white. Herefords have generally been described as a gentle and adaptive breed, making them a great breed of cattle to raise. So it's no surprise that Herefords quickly became one of Bob Cundy's passions. Third generation of the family's Bob Cundy had maintained his hobby and passion for Herefords since he was a young man. When he was young, he would raise registered Herefords. And of course, he had continued to evolve it in the Cundy family business. Eventually, Bob even became the leader of the American Hereford Association. Unsurprisingly, Bob's daughter, Marcia Mickelson, also inherited the same passion for Herefords, or maybe it was nurtured into her. But she did follow in her father's footsteps and actually became a board of director for what used to be the American Junior Hereford Association. This was all throughout the early 1980s. But all three of Bob Cundy's kids at the time would show their cattle yearly at the Sonoma County Fair. The collective family passion for this Hereford project provided them the opportunity to grow it from more than just a hobby and into an actual business. Dundee family had found many uses for their Hereford cattle. Now, as I had mentioned, Hereford tend to be a docile breed, and their manure provides further opportunity for sustainable composting practices, which the family was really interested in at the time and still are. The cattle also evoke an image of the rancher life, which could be admired by visitors to the Cundy property. So really for the family, the Hereford project was a win-win. In 1997, the Cundy property further expanded and they added the addition of Kinnebrook Ranch. Kinnebrook Ranch is where the winery still stands today. During this time of expansion, though, they did not forget to leave plenty of pasture room for the cows. The Cundys have always done a good job at maintaining pasture land on their property, and this is all a part of their sustainability mission. Only about 40% of Cundy property is used for actual wine production purposes. All of that remaining 60% of land is left for alternative agriculture. This pasture land provides the perfect habitat for the Hereford cattle that we've talked oh so much about. And in 2003, Bob Cundy actually brought the first batch of Hereford cattle onto the property. Now, there's been a little bit of mixed reporting on this, but it appears the cows, the Herefords, were moved onto the Cundy property with the intention of them being added to the fifth generation's kids' growing herd, because the kids were also interested in the Herefords. So it's my understanding that when these cows were all moved onto the property, they were also moved on property alongside two horses. One horse was a 9-year-old Morgan horse named Morgan, and the other horse was an old retired racehorse who actually belonged to one of the young fifth generation girls. This girl is named Jamie Mickelson, and now she is all grown up, and we'll get into what she's doing now later, but at the time, she was only 13 years old, and Jamie actually is hearing impaired, and so she always has had a passion for animals. They're like a second family for her. Jamie's passion for the entire agricultural business was undeniable, and she took so much pride in it. As a young girl, Jamie actually cared for one of the horses that had been moved onto the property, alongside some of her family's cattle, and she took part in many other agricultural endeavors as well. Back in 2003, Jamie would spend large portions of her day riding her 23-year-old thoroughbred horse on trails on the ranch, or even out to the fields, where she would check on the 20 or so Herefords that she was raising for her 4-H and farming projects. So this 23-year-old horse was appropriately named Gentle Song. In articles, the creature was described as unflappable, which in horse world means the animal is always calm and doesn't panic easily. Gentle Song's calm demeanor made her the perfect riding partner for Jamie. The horse herself was described by Marcia Mickelson, Jamie's mom, as gorgeous, with jet black coloring and a beautiful mane and tail. Prior to retiring as Jamie's pet, Gentle Song was a former racehorse and had actually won 3 of her 27 starts, earning winnings totaling $65,329. And Gentle Song had actually placed 3rd in the 1982 Canadian Oaks race, which I guess is a really big deal. Gentle Song was last seen alive around 6 p.m. on the night of Saturday, April 26th, 2003. Unfortunately, she was found dead by 9 a.m. the next morning by a caretaker of the Kenwood property. On the night of April 26th, two young men local to the area of Boys Hot Springs in the Sonoma Valley were partying and enjoying a night of drinking just up the road. At the time, some news outlets had reported that they were partying at a nearby ranch, while others reported that the two men were partying at a stone barn located directly on the 2,000-acre Cundy Estate property. Either way, though, these guys were partying and drinking heavily, which, as we all know, can lead to some pretty bad ideas. I did so much digging, and what my digging revealed is that not a single news reporter back in 2003 knew how old these guys actually were. All of the reporting had ages spanning anywhere from 19 to 25 for both of them. However, the majority of the outlets reported these guys as being 22 and 21. So the first guy, the 22-year-old, was named Leo Bihildo Guzman Herrera, and the 21-year-old was Noel Guido Silva, and both of these men had driven to their party in their own respective cars. I just want to clarify the age inconsistencies there, because I'm assuming they were 22 and 21, just given what the reporting was, But like I mentioned, Leobaldo Guzman Herrera, the 22-year-old, he was reported as being 25 in some articles. Meanwhile, Guido Silva, the 21-year-old, was reported as being 19. So I'm guessing they're 22 and 21. I'm trusting ABC News. They seem like they got it. So 22 and 21 is what we're rolling with for the story today. I'm also going to refer to these guys as their last name throughout the story or the 22 and 21-year-old. So just to clarify, the 22-year-old is Herrera and the 21-year-old is Guido Silva. Herrera, the 22-year-old, was driving a Chevrolet S10 Blazer that night, which, for anyone who doesn't know, is a truck. And at the time, the 21-year-old was driving a Toyota Supra, which is a two-door sports car made popular by its display in the Fast and Furious films. In the early morning hours of April 27th, the two young men left the party they were attending, at which point they allegedly started street racing one another down Sonoma County's Highway 12, which would be the route they'd have taken to get home to Boys Hot Springs, which is about 8 miles away from the Cundy property. I guess the guys thought it a good idea or fun to trespass on the Cundy property. To do this, they drove off of Highway 12, through two gates, and through a field to get into the pasture. Here, in the field, they chased Gentle Song around the pasture relentlessly. What likely happened? So, both cars chased the mare around the pasture for about 200 to 300 yards. Then, the 22-year-old with the Chevy Blazer hit Gentle Song from behind, causing her to fall into the path of the Supra. From this, Gentle Song suffered a fatal head injury, and the guys fled the scene in their respective vehicles. Investigators discovered footprints located between two sets of tire tracks, suggesting to them that the people who did this had hunted the horse down for sport. They also found pieces of a truck grille and some broken window glass. The pieces of the car were assumed to both be from the Chevy truck. The next morning, when the caretaker had found that Gentle Song had died in the field, they immediately summoned the two sheriffs and an animal control officer who could help the family figure out what had happened. I am just so grateful that Gentle Song's 13-year-old owner wasn't the one to find her dead in the field that morning, and instead it was the caretaker that located the tragedy. Jamie was absolutely devastated when she was informed of what had happened, and later that Sunday, in remembrance of her horse, Gentle Song, Jamie placed a wreath of flowers by the pasture's gate. However, it would be a while before anyone would get any actual closure, because at this point, authorities only had some tire tracks and broken parts of car to go off of. They didn't know who actually committed the crime. Based on the glass and grill they found, police did know, though, that they were looking for a Chevrolet or GMC S10 Blazer or pickup made between 1982 and 1990, and they knew that whatever car they were looking for had a messed up grill and some broken glass. Detectives put all of the information they knew out there in hopes that they would get a tip from anyone who's maybe heard a rumor about Saturday night, or someone who potentially noticed that their friend or maybe kid's car had suddenly shown up with some new and similar damage. Meanwhile, of course, the authorities weren't the only people trying to get to the bottom of this heartless killing. The Humane Society of Sonoma County actually came forward and had posted a $5,000 reward for any tips that could lead to an arrest or conviction in this case, and they did this in the days following the attack. This is something I didn't know, but apparently the Humane Society actually has funds set up for these types of situations. At the time, Sonoma County's Humane Society Director of Operations, Dan Malone, said that there were so many people calling to offer to donate money to increase the award that they might just have to do that. And do that they did, because quickly, the reward did increase. Within just a few days, the reward had doubled from $5,000 to $10,000. And because of growing community support, it quickly doubled again. Now, there was a $20,000 reward out for information, but only information that would lead to the arrest and conviction of whoever was guilty in this brutal act. Unsurprisingly, once the reward was that high, the phones were just ringing off the hook. And so this $20,000 reward actually did prompt a tip, which helped Sonoma County Sheriff's Office identify the two guilty men and their cars that they had used in the attack. On June 13th, 2003, in their homes in Boys Hot Springs, the 22 and 21-year-old were both arrested on felony cruelty to animal charges. Throughout, their arrests brought closure to the 13-year-old girl who had lost her horse. When she heard news of their arrests, she told her dad, "I feel good now." and I'm so glad that she finally got that closure. Jim Mickelson, the girl's dad, said that without the reward money, he didn't think they would have gotten the necessary information they needed to make an arrest. However, interestingly, an article from June 17th, 2003, so 4 days after the two young guys were arrested, the Sonoma County Humane Society came out and said that no one had claimed the reward yet, which was officially up to $20,432. I couldn't find any information as to whether the reward was ever claimed or not, but I can assure you that, at least just with what I know of the area, if someone claimed a $20,000 reward, there would have been a Press Democrat article written about it immediately afterwards. The horrible killing of the mayor had everyone talking. I mean, even locally, a San Francisco psychiatrist had spoken out about the issue of animal cruelty. She was speaking on the fact that it's a classic indicator of a sociopath, or someone with antisocial personality disorder, or a variety of other traits that could potentially be red flags. Following their arrest, the 22 and 21-year-old were being held in Sonoma County Jail on a $100,000 bail. Both guys initially pled not guilty to their crimes and claimed the horse's death was accidental. This was actually a position they maintained all along. They never intended to kill Gentle Song, but this isn't speaking to their intentions of tormenting it. The prosecutor of the case was James Patrick Casey, and at the time, he had actually called Herrera and Guido Silva's claims ludicrous based on the evidence that was present at the scene. The arrangement of the tire tracks and hoof marks painted a clear picture of what had happened, and partnered with the vehicular damage and Gentle Song's injuries, there was just no question about it. Even if these guys hadn't intended to kill the horse, they definitely didn't enter that pasture with good intentions. I mean, they had to knowingly cross gates and drive through fields to get to where they were. They had gone there with the intention of trying to at least cause some stress or panic to the animal. In the case, a veterinarian had actually testified and explained that the horse died about an hour after the attack from its head and neck injuries that were caused by the vehicles, meaning the animal likely suffered. And so just the fact that the animal suffered and these guys, you know, did this horrible thing, they don't deserve to just get off all easy peasy. On September 4th, 2003, both men pleaded no contest to the animal cruelty charges, amongst other charges related to the case, like trespassing. However, both Herrera and Guido Silva were allowed to withdraw their pleas. If you don't know, a no contest plea is essentially admitting guilt. Considering both defendants were Mexican nationals, on October 17, 2003, their attorneys requested Sonoma County Superior Court Judge Robert Boyd change the men's entered pleas to not guilty. Interestingly, this request only came after a probation report related to the case had been written up, and this probation report recommended that both men spend 3 years in state prison facing the maximum sentences possible for their crimes. Prosecutor Casey argued on behalf of Herrera that defense lawyers had improperly advised both clients to admit to the felony charges previously. It sounded like he was suggesting that they were trying to get these two guys convicted with felony charges and max sentences, so they would essentially have to get deported following their time spent. On February 10th, 2004, Herrera pleaded guilty to 3 felony counts in connection with the vehicular assault on the 23-year-old horse. And these felony counts included the intentional killing of an animal, using malicious cruelty in commission of the crime, and felony vandalism. Also, he pled guilty to 2 misdemeanors, including trespassing and hit and run. Following the 22-year-old Herrera's plea, he was sentenced to 2 years in federal state prison by the Sonoma County Superior Court judge at the time, Lawrence Antolini. Throughout the entire trial, Herrera's only real defense was that because he was inebriated and a Mexican national, he was completely unaware of the laws. And because of all of this, his attorney was requesting him more leniency with the sentencing. Interestingly, he did only get 2 years compared to Guido Silva, who eventually actually got 3 years. The judge ruling the case felt that his ruling was fair, especially given the extensive attempts made by both defendants to cover up their crime. Apparently, both Herrera and Guido Silva had attempted to repair the damages on their vehicles completely under anyone's radar. So Guido Silva's trial date was March 1st, a couple of weeks after Herrera's trial date. Jurors ended up finding Guido Silva guilty of animal cruelty and vandalism in the death of Gentle Song. However, surprisingly, 3 years after his conviction, an appeals court tossed out his convictions, sending the case back to Sonoma County. I'm not sure how that even works, but it happened. Prosecutors knew, though, that there was no chance in hell they were going to offer Guido Silva a plea bargain. So Sonoma County courts had to make a decision. Because they knew if they convicted him again, he couldn't serve any additional prison time, since he'd already served the maximum amount of time possible for his crimes, the prosecutor Diana Gomez took it upon herself to contact the Cundy Mickelson family and ask them what they wanted to see as the outcome from all of this. Ultimately, it appears the family felt that Guido Silva had served enough time for his crimes, and there was really no point in him doing any more jail time. So, in complying with the family's wishes, Prosecutor Gomez decided to dismiss the case in the interest of justice. It was reported that the jury acquitted him of conspiracy and intentionally killing the horse. However, in, again, all of the confusing reporting that was done on this case, there is no good distinguishment if he was acquitted prior to his 3 years served, but if he was, how did he serve 3 years? Or if he was acquitted afterwards, but how was he acquitted when they basically dismissed the case? None of it makes sense. I guess all of that is to say that at some point in time, theoretically, Guido Silva was acquitted by a jury. But we don't know when or where that happened. But following his release from jail, Guido Silva was actually deported back to Mexico. Unfortunately, I can't find any further information on him anywhere. So to my knowledge, he's likely still residing in Mexico. That befell this family and Jamie Mickelson. Luckily, the story does have more of a happy ending. Throughout everything, Jamie's passion for agriculture and farming never faded, and the Hereford inherited passion didn't either, because in 2012, fifth generation Bobby and Jamie developed Sonoma Mountain Herefords from one of their 4-H projects. These 4-H projects are just another example of the kind and caring spirit of the Cundy family. I had actually never heard of the 4-H nonprofit organization prior to researching the information for this episode, so I want to clarify for anyone else who is in my shoes what 4-H is. And I'm sure there's not many of you, but I didn't know what it was. So 4-H is a network of youth organizations whose overall mission is to essentially provide American youth with engaging developmental opportunities, all of which relate to the fields of head, heart, hands, and health. Head, heart, and hands, and health are your 4-H's. But I think it's really cool that Jamie and Bobby were able to combine their family hobby of Herefords with one of their 4-H projects. The company Sonoma Mountain Herefords has the same goal as Bob Cundy's Kenwood Cundy Hereford Ranch: to breed their Herefords and sell their bulls to prospective cattlemen. They select for moderate frame females with excellent udders and heat composition. And they also make the effort to run both spring calving and fall calving herds. By doing so, they meet their bull buyers' needs for yearlings and long yearlings. I don't know about you, but personally, I think this is enough cow conversation, considering that's not what the story is about. However, I think it's really important to highlight all of the work and focus that the successive generations of the Cundy family have put into honoring their love for agriculture. The Sonoma Mountain Hereford Company is still in existence and has since expanded. In this expansion, they opened up Sonoma Mountain Beef Company. The Sonoma Mountain Beef Company was actually born out of Jamie's passions for offering high-quality, humanely raised, local, and delicious beef products. Jamie has kind of combined all of her passions, and it's really beautiful to see. She's been caring for cattle since she was 9 years old, and she took that along with the experience she gained from her 4-H projects, and she took it with her to college, where she got her master's in agricultural business. And then when she graduated, she was ready to expand that family's business and open the branded beef enterprise. It's just really, really cool to see that she's done all of this following such a horrible thing that happened in her younger years. Now, this is by no means sponsored by Sonoma Mountain Beef, but I guess I'm giving a little free advertising shout out here because the company seems like they're just really sustainable and family oriented, and that's something that I love to see. Their meat is always antibiotic and growth hormone free and vegetarian fed with no animal byproducts, pretty dang awesome. Also, I was surprised to discover that the company sells way more than just beef. They also sell pork tenderloin, rack of lamb, and ham, as well as a whole bunch of different types of beef. So it all looks amazing, and I definitely think I need to pick some up for my own holidays this year. If you're interested in trying some of this Hereford beef or any of these other meats, you can buy it directly off the Sonoma Mountain Beef website. Again, this is not sponsored, but it is in distribution in some places across Sonoma County. So if you are local, you can taste the meat at United Markets, Gravenstein Grill, Sonoma Burger, Acme Burger, Danucci's Italian Dinners, the Valley Ford Cheese Shop, and at Kundi Winery. You can also find their meat for sale at the Napa's Farmers Market, which is Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. And going through the website, I will say this, the prices for the meat are insanely reasonable. So again, if you're local, you should really check it out. All in all, it is beautiful to see how involved and connected the Kundi family is, and just the way that they have recovered from such a horrible tragedy. It really seems like they took something bad that happened to them and they didn't let it get them down. Instead, they remembered the amazing horse that Gentle Song was and have continued on with their agricultural passions. And I can't wait to see what comes from them next. Thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode of Crime Beneath the Vines. My sincerest apologies again for the delays in production. It's just been crazy with the conclusion of the semester, but luckily all of that is almost out of the way, which will give me much more time to focus on the podcast. It is definitely my goal to be able to have a bi-weekly episode schedule. However, as of right now, the episodes will remain infrequent, but I will be posting updates on the Instagram. Over the break, I plan on getting at least one more episode out, hopefully by next 2 weeks. It'll definitely happen. But like I said, keep posted and keep tuned for updates. It just is so time consuming being a one-man team doing all this. So I really hope you guys understand. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, this is Crime Beneath the Vines with Willow Dawn. Have a good one, guys. Bye.